Welcome to the First Church Podcast, a weekly podcast of messages from the First Church of Christ in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
You've been here with us over the last, last week we started a brand new series entitled, I Have a Secret, right? I don't know how many of you think about this. You know, secrets, we all have secrets, right? We all have things about us that nobody else knows, okay? For example, I'll tell you a secret about Arlene, okay? Is everybody into this, okay? She's not in this service, so I can tell you something about Arlene that I'll bet you that 98% of you didn't know. Arlene's maiden name is Beach, B-E-A-C-H, okay? She loves going to the beach. Always told her dad they should have named her Daytona, you know? She has an Uncle Sandy Beach. She has an Aunt Virginia Beach. She has an Aunt Myrtle. No, she doesn't. But anyway, her maiden name was Beach, okay? Her mother's maiden name, in other words, her grandmother, her maiden name was Lemon. True story, okay? Matter of fact, her dad said about her mom, said, when I married you, I got a real lemon, okay? He's the only person I know that can say that and not be insulting, all right? So her grandmother's name was Lemon. Her great-grandmother's name was Coffee, okay? Seriously, Coffee. And matter of fact, it was really neat. When Sarah was just a baby, Grandma Coffee was still alive, and we have a picture. I should have gotten this for you. Oh, they're up there. Okay, I should have gotten this for you. But I had a picture of Sarah and Arlene and Carolyn and Mimi, and then the great-great-grandmother, Sarah's great-great-grandmother, Coffee, all together. It was really cool in a picture. So her name was Coffee. And then Arlene's great-great-grandmother, Grandma Coffee's mother's name was Clemens, okay? And she had a brother who had a son named Samuel Clemens. Well, so Arlene is like a pretty close relative, a few generations removed from Samuel Clemens, Mark Twain. Okay. Matter of fact, I got so excited when I heard about this. We've been married a long time. And I thought, hey, I'll bet there's scholarships available out there for descendants of Mark Twain. There wasn't. Okay. So it didn't do me any good. But yeah, so we all have secrets, don't we? Matter of fact, let's just turn to our person next to us and let's tell them something that they don't know about it. No, don't do that. Okay. It's kind of intimidating, isn't it? For secrets to come out, we started this last week. Our theme verse is Proverbs 28, verse 13. I love this. He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Now really get this, folks, because if you conceal your sins, in other words, if you conceal your secret sins, does not bring prosperity. But if you confess and renounce them, it finds mercy. This kind of, this laying your soul bare before the Lord is an awesome thing. But to a large degree, we do the exact opposite of that. Today, I want to talk to you about a really difficult subject, but it's one that everybody needs to talk about and hear, and that's about addiction. A lot of people have the secret of addiction. They're suffering from an addiction or an addictive personality, or they are addicted to some activity or some drug or whatever that is just destroying their life. And here's the thing, even if you're here this morning and you aren't struggling with an active addiction in your life, you know someone who is. And even if you're here this morning and you're not addicted, maybe you don't know anybody close to you that's suffering from addiction, we all know people that have been affected by addiction in life. So what does the Bible have to say about this awesome passage of Scripture, Romans chapter 6, verse 12 through 14? It says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God, for sin shall not be your master. Now look at that word right there, that sin shall not be your master. There's a beautiful Greek word in the New Testament. It's koreio, And it literally means to have something rule over you. It isn't a word that describes you. It describes something that has dominion over you, something that is Lord over you, something that has control over your life. And he says here, don't let sin be your master. So here's the question. As you think about this verse, what's mastering you? What's taking control of your life? Let me ask you some questions as you think about this word. Do your family and friends say that you have a problem? I mean, when you're talking about addiction, a lot of times it's easy for us to, you know what, this isn't a problem. But how about the people that love you, the people that are around you, the people that are closest to you? Are they telling you that you have a problem? Or secondly, do you continue even though you're hurting people? I mean, you can see the pain in your wife's eye, the pain in your husband's eye, the pain in your children's eyes, and you realize that what you're doing, this addictive personality, this addictive behavior is causing pain to other people, but you just ignore it. Or how about this? Do you arrange your schedule around it? I mean, do you make sure that there's time for this addiction in your life? How about this one? Can you go a week without it? Can you go a week without it? We went on a vacation a few years ago, and the TV that we had in this place that we stayed, it didn't get any kind of cable. They had movies and stuff there to watch, and I'm kind of addicted to news and sports, and it like killed me to not be able to watch Sports Center at 5:30 in the morning. I almost died, okay? I mean, addictions are like that, aren't they? All of a sudden, when we go without them, when we can't have it, or how about this one? Is it leading you to isolation? I mean, is it hurting you or hurting the people that you love to such a point that you do it in isolation now? You do it alone. You don't want anybody else to see you or to know that you're going through that. So therefore, your addiction is just driving you into this isolated life. Or how about this one? Are you trying to keep it a secret? You don't want people to know. You don't want people to see. You don't want people to realize what's going on in life. According to how you answer those questions is whether or not you are being mastered. But I can tell you this, folks, if you are being mastered by sin in your life, that's Satan's cycle of destruction that he wants to see carried out to total devastation in your life. Think about it. Here's Satan's cycle of destruction. Your addiction becomes a part of your identity. When you try to quit but fail, you feel increasingly hopeless. Any threat to your addiction becomes a threat to you. You lose friends and family and money and health, further wounding your struggling self-esteem, and you ease the pain by getting your next fixed by allowing this addiction to overcome. I remember some years ago, my brother, God bless his heart, loved my brother to death. My brother struggled with alcohol for a number of years. And I remember at one point in his life when he lost his wife, she'd left, and you know, he was really struggling in a lot of areas of his life. I'd gone to visit him. I'm sitting in this little two-room apartment that he was living in, bare walls. We're sitting in a chair and talking, and he said, "John, this is what alcohol addiction will get you." And I knew exactly what he meant. He was sitting there feeling isolated, feeling alone, understanding that his addiction was what had brought him to this place. Now, the great thing is my brother got beyond that and had a wonderful, wonderful part of life after overcoming that addiction. But so many of us, we don't. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want to give you some good advice, and I want to call it good advice from God. Okay? In other words, I want to give you some good advice, but then I want to back it up and make sure that this good advice is godly advice from God's word. Because you know what? It can be two different things. You can get advice from people, but it not be good advice, and it certainly doesn't always have to be good godly advice. I want to give you some good advice that comes from God when it talks about dealing with this with these secret addictions in life. Here's the first thing. Just get rid of the excuses. I mean, just stop the excuses. Just stop saying over and over again, I don't have a problem. Or, you know, this might be a situation for somebody else, but not for me. Let's just stop the excuses. I mean, God wants us to know that so many times we are the master of our own destiny. And when we are in this place where we are struggling with addictive behavior, when we are struggling with addictions, and we see the harm that it's causing to our families, and even if we're not struggling with it, we see the effects on other people's lives or in other people's lives, and we want to try to help them, we just need to either say ourselves, you know what, I just need to stop excuses, or we need to say to somebody that we love, listen, you just need to stop making excuses. And you need to own this. I love the passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 14, verse 18. Jesus is talking, and he says, but they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I've just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. And still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. Now, these are people talking to Jesus in response to his invitation to follow him. And they're just making excuses. I got something else going on. I just bought this. I just purchased that. I just got married. You know, I thought that was kind of funny, you know. They bought a field, bought oxen. I just got married, right? I mean, can't you bring her along or him along? You know, the whole point of this is that people do this. They make excuses, and we do it with our destructive behavior and addictions as well. You know, it doesn't affect me this way. It's not causing me a problem. I could quit any time. Over and over and over and over, we make excuses. And we shouldn't make the excuses. We just should simply stop making the excuses and move forward. Let me give you a word from Philippians chapter 4 in verse 13, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. You can do all things through him who gives you strength. In other words, we need to stop saying I can't, and we need to start saying that in God, with God, because of God, I can. It is so easy to get in this kind of situation where it's always somebody else's fault. Our situation is always somewhat different. And God is just saying to us, you know, it's good advice, but it's also good godly advice. Just stop making the excuses. The second thing is that we just need to cut the ties with bad influences. Sometimes we are one friendship away from becoming exactly what God wants us to be. Not one friendship away as far as finding a friend, but sometimes we're one friendship away as far as losing a friend, cutting the ties of a friendship that will get us on a better road of recovery and wholeness. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. Bad company corrupts good character. You know, isn't it amazing how as kids, our parents, they really make this a big priority. My mother, over and over and over again, you know, there was a group of people that she wanted me to be friends with, and there was a group of people that she didn't want me to be friends with. And it was always, if you got tied up with the wrong friends, she would encourage strongly, you need to stay away from those people. Why? Because she knew this verse to be true. Why is it that we may be taught that as a child, but yet as an adult, we just so easily surround ourselves with not people that make us better, with not people that build us up, but with people that tear us down? Let me remind you, folks, it's always easier to pull somebody down than it is to pull somebody up. And there's some of you here this morning, you understand that there is an addictive behavior in your life that you participate in with some particular person. And you realize and you understand that as long as you're around that person, that this is going to be a tremendous problem in your life. Maybe that's what you need to do. You just need to cut ties with that bad influence in life. And then the third thing is you need to fill the void. Okay? Now think about this, folks. It's one thing to stop doing something, but if you don't replace that thing that you stopped with something that is good or positive or right, it is so much easier to go back into that bad behavior. Let me give an example of my mother, God bless her soul. Years ago, my mother was trying to quit smoking. And my mother was, she smoked her whole life. And at this particular point, doctor said, you really need to quit. And she was giving it her best try. And she heard that if you would, you know, when you have a desire for a cigarette, if you would replace it with something else, you know. So what she started doing was that she started chewing gum, and it was just this particular brand of gum that she really, really liked. And it was so funny. One day I went in, and I noticed that she's chewing a lot of gum. And I went into my mother's house one time to visit, and she was sitting there, and this little trash can was beside her chair. It was full of gum wrappers. On the side of the table beside her chair were packs and packs and packs of gum. My mother stopped being a chain smoker, and she was a chain gum chewer, okay? Because she was just convinced that she had to replace. So every time she had a desire for a cigarette, she would chew a piece of gum. Well, guess what? She wanted a cigarette every day, all the time. So she literally just, and it worked. It was amazing how feeling that bad habit with, you know, she lost her teeth, but she quit smoking. No, I'm just kidding. That was, please forgive me, God. That wasn't nice. I shouldn't have. I didn't say that first service. I won't say that third service. I promise, okay? Mother, Mom, please forgive me for saying that. Oh, my goodness. Where did that come from? Oh, my. But you know what I'm saying? And it is true. Let me share this passage of Scripture with you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. He says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. In other words, fill your life up with the presence of God. And replace something that, he says, don't get drunk on wine. In other words, take something out of your life that has a negative influence and replace it with something that has a positive influence. Don't do something that leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit that's going to lead to a wonderful existence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, folks, this is both good advice and it's also godly advice. Just stop making excuses. Cut ties with bad influences in your life and replace that void. Fill that void with your relationship with God. Because you know what's true? I mean, every person that struggles with addiction, it's just a secret. And to some extent, it's a silent secret that they don't talk about and they don't get any help with. Some years ago, many years ago actually, I had a friend call me. And he said, John, could we get together and talk? I said, sure. And we made an appointment. We were going to sit down and talk. Fella, I'd known this guy for a long time. Good guy, good husband, family, kids, you know, good job, all that kind of stuff. And if you've ever had this, ever had somebody say, you know, I'd like to talk to you, and then you're wondering, what's this all about? Right? And I went through this in my mind. You know, this, it was very unusual for this person to seek this out like this. And so I'm looking forward to this day, and I'm thinking, what could this be about? And I'm thinking, oh, he probably wants to quit his job. He wants to move, or, maybe he wants to give the church a great big donation, or, you know, I just went through all these kinds of things. And this fellow walked in my office and he sat down and he said, John, I want to tell you something. And he said, I've never told anybody else ever. He said, I'm an alcoholic. And it's killing me. My wife's about ready to leave. My kids don't trust me. You know, my job, it's affecting my job. I hide it from everybody. And I'm thinking in my mind, dude, you sure hid it from me. Because I had no clue whatsoever. You see, that's the way it is. But when we finally bring those things out, when we shine the light of day, when we shine the grace and the mercy of God on those kinds of destructive activities in our lives, and we say, you know what, God, I'm powerless to do this myself. I need your help. And we seek that help from somebody and from God. God is faithful, and he will help us overcome that. But you know what? This fellow sat down in front of me, and he said, you know what? No more excuses. I own this. This is my fault. I've done this. And every bad thing in my life because of this is my own doing. You know what? And I remember this story very, very clearly. He had to cut some ties with more than one person who he had been close with, who he had been drinking buddies with. But then the greatest thing was that he filled that void with a wonderful, dynamic, newfound relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this word from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. It says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, the world has convinced us for us to deal with our secrets, for us to deal with our addictions, for us to deal with, like we talked about last week, our habitual lying, for us to deal with those kinds of things, that admits that we are weak. And I must say that it really does make us weak, maybe in the world's eyes. But it's through that weakness, through that understanding, through that confession, through that repentance, through that dealing with these kinds of things, both in a public way and with God, that's when he says, I will make you strong. So you see, folks, it's so appropriate for us today to ask ourselves, are we being mastered? Do I have addictions in my life that are not only ruining my life, but ruining the people that I love around me? And even if I don't have those kinds of addictions, I know others who do. I know others that are affected by that. Satan's cycle of destruction is so active in our world today. So God, I'm going to stop giving excuses. And I'm going to own this behavior in my life. And through your grace and through your mercy, I'm going to confess these things to you. And I'm going to get forgiveness for these things. And you're going to give me the strength to overcome. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And dear God, I understand that it might be to the extreme point that I have to say no to some friendships that I've had for a long time. And I might have to cut the ties because I realize that kind of company can corrupt good character, good morals. That it's easier for them to pull me down than it is for me to pull them up. And then God, I'm going to fill that void. When I say no to something bad, I'm going to say yes to something good. When I say no to something destructive, I'm going to say yes to something instructive. Something that will build me up. When I say no to something ugly, I'm going to say yes to something beautiful. And I'm not just going to allow that void to be there and allow it to eat at me and haunt me and entice me and tempt me to come back into this kind of behavior that I'm saying no to. And Lord, during that moment of weakness, relying on you, I know is when I can be strong. So you know what, folks? I just speak to each of us here today. If you are in this situation and you have an addiction, give it to God. If you're hearing here this morning and you know someone in your life, in your family that's struggling with this, encourage them with these thoughts, with this good advice from God. And help them to fill that void with something that is wonderful. You know, I had an interesting conversation after last service, and I didn't share this first service because it hadn't happened. But I said to the person, I said, may I share just a thought, this thought that you're sharing with me? And she gave me permission, and therefore I share it with you. And I wouldn't share it if she had said no. But a beautiful lady came and talked to me over at the near the elevator after first service and asked me to pray with her, and I did. She was just talking about some struggles that she was having in life, not necessarily, you know, an addictive kind of thing, but really the effects of it. At the conclusion of that, she said to me, she said, you know what? She said, I just need to get busy serving God. And I said, you know what? That's much better advice than I could ever give you. And then she said this. She said, because I know that when I'm actively serving Him, I don't have time for all that other stuff. Isn't that true? That is so true. And it is so true for you, and it's so true for me, just as much as it was true for her. That if we could just cut the excuses, you know, get rid of the ties of the people that are bringing us down and fill that void with a godly service to our Heavenly Father, life can be so much better than we could ever imagine. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, I just come to you this morning and pray, Lord, that you would help us deal with this tough subject, Lord, but yet a very important one. Because, Lord, we all have addictions that bring us down. Some people struggle with drug addiction. Some people struggle with alcohol addiction. Some people struggle with lots of other areas in life that are just like that and just as destructive. So, God, I pray that we would bring this secret of addiction out into the open. That, Lord, we would shine not only the light of day on it, but that we would shine the love and grace and mercy of God upon it. And know, Lord, that you can help us overcome that if we would just simply own it and do the things necessary, Father, to be in a good, solid place with you. So I pray, Lord, for every person in this room this morning who is struggling or knows someone that is struggling. And God, may your Spirit encourage them to do what they need to do to overcome. And Lord, may your Spirit encourage all of us to help others to overcome. And God, I just pray for the negative influence of addictive behavior on the lives of our children and grandchildren and loved ones and friends. And God, I pray that all of us, Father, dealing with this kind of important issue, would benefit all these folks, Lord. And that our kids and our grandkids would be in a beautiful place because of our love and of our devotion to you. Father, bless us to that end. And as we sing this awesome song about walking with you, even when we're in a dark place, walking with you, that God, you can see us through. May it be so, Father, for all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the First Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message for today. Be sure to check back next week or subscribe to the podcast by visiting our website at firstforchrist.com. That's first, the number 4, christ.com.